All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Basetown? Hey, how we doing? Look what the frickin' cats dragged in. Well, Barry Laminack is back, blessing us with his presence after the Lollapalooza tour of comedy lasted a week. Good to have the band back together. Nick and I, of course, present as well. But, of course, everybody on bated breath waiting at the edge of their seat to find out how the hell this whole trip went.
Oh, is that the... Was that true?
I'm trying to set the stage for you, sir.
Okay, yeah. That's good. No, I appreciate that. That's a good thing. Glad to be back. It was...
Nick and I were trying to gauge it based on what you had said about following you on social media. And we were watching things going...
On my Instagram?
He's not happy.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
When you put that poster of all the comedians and the guy above you's picture was like halfway over your face,
I was like,
it's not good.
When I said this perfectly sums up my trip so far, look, I'm not going to badmouth the
marketing, social media, or whatever guru guy that was responsible for that.
Well, that was all on the photographer, so that wasn't the festival's fault. That was the guy who took the pictures. So we showed up, and, well, first of all, how did last week go? Just you guys have a good
time? It
was
incredible. It was absolutely fantastic.
Good.
Everybody killed it. We finished the week strong with Jerry.
Good.
And Jerry gave us a little heads up about the festival.
Okay.
And said that he had been trying to hook up some other gigs for you and do some things.
Jerry's like, great.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He definitely hooked it up. But so the festival, as far as the festival goes, there were 9 people in a crowd total over my 3 shows.
What?
9 people. So my first show was Monday night at 11 p.m., which no one's going to go to, in the main room at the club. 4 people in the crowd. There were comics in the crowd that were on the show. But as far as actual people in the crowd, 4. So I was like, you know what? No big deal. It's 11 o'clock on a Monday. I can fade that. That's no big deal. It happens. My next show was scheduled for Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the patio of the Hilton Garden Inn. And I was like, that's interesting. And then we get a message that says, please don't curse. It's a clean show because there might be families and kids checking into the hotel and leaving and coming and going. And it's on the streets. And we just want you to be clean. I had no idea that when they said it was on the streets, it was actually, I'm standing in a corner of their patio. Behind me is a main thoroughfare in downtown Burbank with fire trucks going as you're trying to tell jokes. There's cars, there's honking. One comic, because I was on that show, my buddy Kazim that I stayed with was on that show the day before. And on that show, some guy heckled a comic from the 4th floor of the hotel across the street.
Oh, no.
I'm like, dude, you're getting heckled from across the street. You're not even getting heckled from the same hotel you're at.
That's nuts.
So I was like, well, this is really going to suck. So then I did my set there, and it was atrocious. There were 3 people in the crowd. Come to find out, that's not true. Later, I learned that one of them was a comic, and that's a whole different story that I'll be happy to tell you.
All right.
And then Friday, I was like, all right, Friday, my show is at the club in the smaller room. It's at 5:30. Maybe some people took off work on Friday and will show up. I was like, every show had a theme. Like, my show at 11 o'clock on Monday was the Monday night late night headliners, whatever. My Friday show's theme was frat party. And I was like, bitch, I didn't even finish community college. Why am I in the frat party show? I'm 44. I'm married. I'm old. What? This is the dumbest. So, 2 people.
God, the numbers went down.
Every show. It went 4-3-2. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to say something. So I just asked, I get up there, and they record every and you could pay for the video. I was like, good luck trying to get that money out of me. I am not paying for any of these videos. But I was on stage and I got started and I mentioned the fact that I never went to college and I don't know how I made it onto the frat party show. And I was like, by round of applause, how many of you in here are not a comic? Because there were people in the room. It was all the comics that were going to be on the show. And literally, dude, just two people. I was like, oh, it's getting worse. It's actually getting worse.
Now, here's the thing, Nick, and maybe you can chime in. My visual, when you said you were doing a comedy festival.
Oh, there were tons of people.
Is like the
just
beach.
Not on my show.
Maybe like, you know, or like a, you know, like a street festival or whatever, but there's stages set up and you know, there's a ton of people there just for comedy. And, you know, I had a different in so my head of a festival.
Yeah, well, so like some shows, like my buddy Kazim that I stayed with, his shows, one of his shows was packed. It was in the main room. I might have got, even comics that were on the shows I was on, at least one of their shows had people in it. I literally, all three of my shows were the worst three possible shows you could have got in this festival. And somebody's like, well, maybe next year. I was like, I'm never coming back. Are you kidding me? Maybe next year? I will never be back. There's no way. There's just no way that I would come. And I have never done an out-of-town festival before for this very reason. Because most festivals, like I've done in town, I've done the Come and Take It Comedy Festival and Whatever Fest.
I remember you did one like a year ago.
And Whatever Fest is what you're thinking about. There's tents set up.
Yeah.
And some of them are bands, some of them are comedy. People walk up, there's a big crowd, big seats.
Right.
And that's over one day, though.
Okay.
This is over a week, so they spread it out. There was 300 comics, so they're just putting show. There should never be 300 comics on a festival. There should be 100.
300?
Yes. Somebody said they gave us T-shirts, and on the back of the T-shirt has every comic's name on it. Somebody goes, it looks like the Vietnam War Memorial. It's just so many names.
Sounds it was just like our ESPN T-shirts.
Yeah, kind of, right? But so those shows were atrocious. Didn't go well. Like,
was there anything in between for you?
You've never seen me on stage. Nick has seen me on stage. He can validate for you. I'm very high energy when I'm on stage.
Absolutely.
I am like, you know, I'm high energy. I have a good time. Man, you would have thought I was Stephen Wright. If you don't know who that is, that's that kid.
I mentioned him last week on the show with Jerry.
Hey, what's up?
Like, that's literally how I was on stage. In fact, there were some local comics that were there that were like, dude, what's wrong? You were, like, not yourself. I was like, yeah, this is bleeping depressing, man. Are you kidding me? Good thing for guys like Jerry.
Yeah.
To hook me up with outside shows and people. Because if I would have just...
Oh, so he did in between.
Oh, yeah. No, I did a show in Santa Monica at a place called Bear Burger, which had maybe 25 people. Very small room. It's like half the size of this studio. So when you put 20 people in that kind of room, 25 people, it was great. It was the most fun I had the whole week. And I got to work with a lady named Jen Kober, who's really starting to get better, Eddie Pence. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And it was the most people that I saw combined out of the three festival shows that I did. It was more than those nine people that I saw. It was great.
Yeah, what I thought was the most intriguing part of your story. Four, then three.
Then two.
Then two. It was the Popes on the
if
last
you'd
show.
You'd have stayed and done a show like Saturday night.
It was Lauren Pope and her husband.
I was going to say, if you'd have stayed Saturday night, you didn't want to see Numero Uno. It would have been 4-3-2-1 and you'd have been out.
Well, and then they have Best of the Fest, which I knew I wasn't going to get on because my shows, one, there was no one there. And they also tell you, oh, there'll be industry at every show, which is part of the reason why I went. Because, like I said, I don't do festivals, right? Like, I just don't do them for this very reason. But this happened to be one where they were at the Joke Joint, and it was a contest, and Kim was like, are you going to come down and do it? I was like, yeah, I'll come down and do it. And then I ended up winning it. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to go to the Burbank Festival. This is why there's only like five festivals that I'll actually apply for where there's legit. Because there was no industry in the room even, which wouldn't have mattered because I didn't do what I normally do. But so from a festival standpoint, it was crazy whack. The rest of the trip, absolutely insane though. I got offered crack on the streets. I was offered cocaine and sex. I was like the outside stories made the trip worth it.
Okay. All right, so we'll catch up on a lot of that too as well. Good to have Barry back. We're all in studio, so we're going to continue to roll on. You know how we do it around here. HR&P listener line wide open right now, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's @BarryIsFunny, @TheProducerNick. at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's the usual suspects, and you're on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! And when I say back, we're all back. Barry's back after a week out. Great to have him back. Nick and I are here. You guys are fantastic. We appreciate everybody that filled in last week, but obviously it ain't nothing like the real thing, and we got that back, so we're good. Barry was telling us a couple stories, catching up on what happened with the festival, quote-unquote now that I know. Yeah. But everybody coming off a weekend where I hope everything went well. We still have tons to get to, obviously, with the Astros, Texans, et cetera, but we want to catch up with Barry first. So,
yeah, one thing, I didn't have a TV. So I literally watched no sports, no television, no nothing.
Well, let's be honest.
Entire week.
In that city, anywhere, and it doesn't, I say that city, it's a huge city. But no matter where you are, the people watching and the stuff that's going on is enough to satisfy your craving for television.
Oh, there is so much that goes on. First of all, I will say this. We had this discussion, was it last week before I left, about fanny packs?
We did. It was the week before you left.
Week before, right?
They're back. They just haven't made it to Texas yet.
Yeah, because no, I told you, one of my friends
Dude that I saw in L.A. was rocking a fanny pack. Yeah. They either wear it like wrestling belt style,
right,
around their shoulder, or just around the waist. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. But fanny packs, I hate to tell you, they're on their way back.
I think it's funnier when it's traditional though, instead of the ones that are over the shoulder, because that's like an evolved fanny pack, like a Euro fanny pack or something. But the traditional ones that go around your belt or your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they're all still fanny packs.
It's funny.
Okay. So let's see. I flew Spirit out there. Let me tell you
what.
We
had talked about that too.
Oh my God.
How many bottles of water did you buy?
None.
Like $9 a damn bottle.
This is what I've realized about Spirit, right? Well, first of all, on my flight back yesterday, I was. It always amazes me, and I had a friend, and I'm not going to say his name. No, Joel, I won't say his name. But I had a friend that used to, when we would fly, this was back before I got into comedy. I was just in business, and I would travel for business. He was like, he would dress up to fly, and he wanted people to think that he was famous. And if people would say something, he would just lie. He'd be like, yeah, I'm a drummer, or I'm a musician. Or he would tell people that he was famous, even though he wasn't, right?
That's Billy D. Washington for sure.
No, that's definitely. This was prior to comedy, before I had ever met Billy. Oh, okay. This was just a dude I worked with at NIT.
I'm just trying to get you to blurt it out.
Yeah, no. And so you'll know, you can recognize those people because they're always really fancy. They're always dressed up for a flight. And it cracked me up because there was a lady on our flight yesterday coming home who was really dressed up. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you're fooling everybody into thinking you're a famous celebrity flying Spirit. Yes, everyone believes you're rich and famous on this flight to Houston flying Spirit for $100. We all believe you, ma'am. You're somehow very famous. But I had forgot how much they nickel and dime you in flight. Like, they get you before because they're like $65 to check a bag, $45 to carry on a bag.
Yep.
But in flight, I looked at the menu. It's $3 for a can of Coke. $4 for a tiny little bag of peanuts. And I was just like, I asked the lady, I was like, ma'am, can y'all turn on the AC? She's like, oh, we don't usually run AC. It saves money for you guys. But I'll blow on your neck for $7. Like, it was so bad. So bad. That's kind of how it was, right? But so that was all right. I did sleep on an air mattress all week. Have you ever slept on an air mattress?
Yes.
I have. Sucks.
First of all, you can't hide farts on an air mattress. There is no quiet fart on an air mattress.
No, because people think you're doing it when you're not. If you just turn the right wrong way, if your foot rubs against the mattress or something.
Well, the new ones have like suede on it, so it helps a little bit with it.
It doesn't matter, though. This one had suede on it. And I tried to sneak one out night one. I was like, it was supposed to sound like, and it was like, pah! I was like, what the hell? And my buddy goes, bro, really? I was like, I didn't think you would hear it. Like, it was so loud. I was like, all right, well, now I'm going to have to lay on my stomach when I have to fart. Because this is, you can't just fart into an air mattress. It's an echo chamber.
Hot pocket, bury it in the covers.
It's an echo chamber, basically. So I learned that, which, and then this air mattress had a slow leak. So I would go to bed on a fully inflated air mattress. I would wake up on the floor. I would just, like, it was the most uncomfortable scenario ever. But there were so many different things that happened. So this was my favorite story. So I did the patio show on a Wednesday, right? And I told you guys there was three people on the patio. One of them was this really big, like this fat white guy, right? And he was sitting up front. He was laughing the entire time. And I thought it was really nice of him, right? Well, then the next day, Jerry had gotten me a gig on a really cool show in Santa Monica called Bear Burger. So my buddy drove me out to Santa Monica and dropped me off early. I spent half the day in a Starbucks in Santa Monica hanging out with homeless people, which...
In Santa Monica?
Yes.
How'd that bathroom go?
Oh, well, so that's what's weird is the homeless people will use, like, every bathroom in L.A. has a lock on it. And you have to have a code or a key because homeless people will go in there and make it their own bathroom. Mm-hmm. But in this particular one, they had, you had to have the code, but the code was right above the lock. I'm like, well, do we just think homeless people don't know their numbers? Like they can't figure out 3172 or whatever it was. But I'm sitting there and this dude named One Eyed Joe comes in and he sits down and he's from New York. And then I just gave them names. But this one guy comes in a samurai hat, and he's wearing a sign that says, More Love. And he sits down and gets on his iPhone, and I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're homeless, but you have an iPhone. And I guess he just comes for the Wi-Fi. I don't know why he was there. And then some lady comes in and sits down, and I actually posted a picture of them. I think I put a picture of them on my Instagram if you want to see it. But so I got One Eyed Joe across from me, and he's just like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from Houston. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? I was like, oh, I'm a comedian. Well, then the other two were like, oh, you're a comedian? And I was like, yeah. So I'm just basically chopping it up with these three people, and then they're like, can we come to your show? I was like, I don't know if they're going to really enjoy me bringing in three homeless people. Into my show.
Sold out, sorry.
I was going to say, at the festival, there was room. You might not just say you didn't have room on this one.
I was like, but I tell you what, like, One Eyed Joe was really cool. He was very nice. But the lady was kind of weird. She would take out her front teeth to talk to me and then put them back in to listen. So she'd be like, yes, I used to work for the model and I was in China. And then she would put her teeth back in for me to respond. I was like, well, that's kind of backwards, really, isn't it? Like, you would want the teeth in to talk and then take them out to listen. But then I look down. Oh, my God. You ever seen somebody like, look, I'm not expecting homeless people to have nice feet, okay?
I would hope not.
But her big toe was touching the third toe.
What?
The second toe was on top of both of those. It was the weird, like, I just looked down and I was like, oh my God.
Made Shaq's feet look good?
Yes. Like, Shaq definitely has homeless feet, but hers was, I've never seen it where the big toe touches the third toe and the second toe was like, I'm out of here. And it would just sit on top of those two while they were making out. It was the weirdest. I was fascinated by it. I was like, oh my gosh, that has to hurt, I would think. But so I chopped it up with them. Then I went to the show. Now, on the show was a comedian named Jen Kober, who's been touring a lot, Last Comic Standing. She's done some cool things. So it was cool to meet her because I'd always heard about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a lesbian. Okay. And right. No big deal. And so
not that there's anything wrong with
that. That's important to the story later.
Okay.
So we're talking and she goes, what are you in town for? I was like, oh, I'm doing the festival. She goes, oh, honey. What were you thinking? I was like, I have no idea. Like, she wasn't even on the festival.
I told you, Jerry warned us the exact same thing.
She goes, oh, sweetie, you should have asked me. I was like, Jen, I just met you. She goes, yeah, I know it, but you still should have asked. I would have told you don't do it. So I said, oh my God, I was on a patio yesterday. She goes, you were on a patio? I was like, yeah, at the Hilton Garden Inn. She goes, I bet you saw my friend, big fat gay guy sitting up front. I was like, does he have a beard? And she goes, yeah, that's him. I was like, oh my God. She goes, yeah, he's a comic, actually. And he was sitting up front just laughing and carrying on. So I was like, oh, well, that's cool to know. So Friday, every night they have an after party, all right? And mm-hmm. Friday, we go down to the Hilton Garden Inn at the bar. There's the after party. And this dude is sitting at the edge of the bar. He's at the very end by himself. Apparently, somebody told me he had been drinking since 4 p.m. It is now, I don't know, 11:30 at night. So I walk up to him and I was like, hey, man, I worked with Jen last night. Are you and Jen, you know, good friends? And he was like, yeah. I was like, well, she told me that you were a friend of hers. And I just wanted to come up and tell you, thank you for sitting in the crowd and laughing at the jokes and just being involved because it made it a lot better. He goes, oh, no problem. You're super funny. I was like, oh, well, you know, I appreciate that. But what's your name? I got his name, which I forgot now. So we just talked for about, I don't know, maybe a minute. And then it got real quiet. And then he looks over at me and he puts his arm around me and he goes, you want to come up to my room?
What?
And do some coke and have some gay sex. And I was like, what? What? First of all, did you really have to describe it as gay sex? I mean, if having sex, it's gay. Like if me and you, sir, are going back to your room, you could have just said sex.
Unless he's burying the lead and there's a chick already upstairs.
I kind of already had figured out once you offered that it was going to be gay sex because you're a dude and I'm a dude and that's how gay sex works. So I was like, okay, well that's, but I was like, you know, I'm all right. I'm good. I don't do coke. I don't do dudes. And I'm married. He goes, me too, honey. I was like, no, I'm good. Kiss me on the cheek.
Oh, and the germ factor went up too.
I freaked out. I was just like, I gotta go. Like, I
no
panicked.
Way.
Yeah, I had a me too moment. And
wow.
But you know what? He came up. I was telling some of my comedy friends about it the next day, and we were laughing. And they all knew him. So they told him. They were like, bro, you offered coke and gay sex to Barry? So he comes up to me and goes, first of all, before I say anything, I'm going to tell you that I am very sorry about yesterday. Apparently, I offered you cocaine and sex. And I was like, no, you didn't. He goes, but they told me. I was like, no, you offered me cocaine and gay sex. He goes, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I was like, it's all right. I knew you were drunk. It's okay. He goes, yeah, I didn't even have any cocaine with me. I don't know why I offered you that. Jeez. I was like, oh, maybe you thought I had it. I don't know. You were looking for a party. So that was the highlight of my weekend, basically.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So instead of doorbells and oil changes, they got straight to the point.
Yeah. Oh, and at the Bear Burger, there were kids in the crowd. So I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I get to curse because I had to do that clean show the day before. So I get on stage and I'm like, and I acknowledge. I was like, oh, sweet. There's kids in the crowd. And this kid heckles me. He goes, just do your stuff, man. I was like, bro, you can't you're 12. Why are you heckling me? It was, oh, God.
Well, the good news of all of this, too, Nick, is that at least he spent a month and a half prepping his body for this show.
Yeah.
Because it was just huge.
I did meet a lot of people. Jerry, in fact, introduced me to a ton of people that he put me in contact with.
That's good.
Yeah. If it weren't for stuff like that, like I ended up booking a gig in Portland in October.
Sweet.
So there was a lot of things that came from it, but not the festival.
Almost another one.
Shut up.
You got fit and trim and almost worked it in. With
oh, my
the,
gosh.
The one guy at the show. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! First hour, Usual Suspects, 3-hour extravaganza, big show. Barry back, been catching us up on a little Cali on his week off.
Yeah, can I catch you up on giving away some stuff?
Absolutely.
As you know, we play the name game here every single day on ESPN 97.5 and when we're simulcasting on 94.1. And it is time once again for the name game. If you don't know what it is, it's where we call two names. If one of those names is yours, you try and be the first caller. Win the prize of the day. Today's prize, a free night stay at any Red Roof Inn in the country. Summer travel is better than ever at Red Roof Inn. This summer, earn a free night by staying three separate times at Red Roof Inn. And I'll tell you, we're not going to do the giveaway. Oh, yeah, we are. We are doing it right now. I forgot. I'm excited because they switched it up on us. So we get to give it away. So if your name is Owen or Mateo, Owen or Mateo, be the first caller, 713-780-3776, and you win a free night stay at any Red Roof Inn in the country. That's huge. I could have used that last week in Cali. I wish I was Owen or Mateo and had a time machine. I could go back and not sleep on an air mattress one night and instead stay at a Red Roof Inn. So good luck. Yeah, I do.
Owen Laminack or Mateo Laminack?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just for a room.
Just for a one night
stay
at a Red Roof Inn.
Forget the fact that you are branded for life. You're going with it for the room.
Yeah, I would. I totally would.
How many Mateos do you think we have listening right now?
I know that there's a Jen Mateo who's super hot on Instagram. Google that.
And she listens to the program?
No. She's just super hot. Jen Mateo. Google that.
I'm sure that Owen Conflenti and Owen Daniels are fighting over who's going to get in first.
My buddy Owen Dunn. I don't know a Mateo.
Aaron, you clumsy poop.
That's from really good.
From Throw Mama from the Drain? No?
In L.A., they have these things called birds.
I've heard them. We have some here, too.
Do we have them here now?
Yeah, they fly around and they have
beaks. Damn it. They're bird scooters.
Oh.
Yeah, they're bird scooters. They're like Uber scooters. So you're walking down the street and there's just a scooter. It's a motorized scooter. And you're like, I was like, what the hell is this? He's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing that's probably going to be in Houston and Texas soon. But basically, it's a phone, so it's a phone app, and you scan this little barcode on top of the scooter. It charges you $1 to start it, and then you just pay for however far you go. It's on GPS. And so let's say you're like, well, I'm 9 blocks from my destination. You hop on the scooter, you take 9 blocks, you just leave it. They just laying around everywhere. Like One Eye Joe in Santa Monica, he was like, bleep those bleeping scooters. I got one eye, I can't see. I'm always tripping over them. Like he was not.
So wait a minute. But you still have to pay to use them?
It's like an app, right? So if you have Uber or Lyft on your phone and you get a ride, then they charge you based on whatever credit card is stored in the app. It's the same way with the scooters. You scan the barcode, the scooter starts up, you hop on, and they're everywhere.
Oh, they're motorized.
Yeah. It's motorized. And then you just ride to your destination, drop the scooter wherever it is, and that's it. And it charges
that's
you for
cool
however
because
far you went.
In Portland, Oregon, they do it with bikes, but there's no charge, and you just leave them.
Really?
I think they're all yellow. But wow. I mean, they start where there are certain racks in downtown and around the area, but literally you just grab one and go. It's like a goodwill gesture. And then when you're done, you're supposed to try and find a rack for it or whatever, but you just leave the bike.
Well, you know how when you're using Lyft or Uber, you pull it up and then you say, this is where I want to go. And it'll show you a picture of cars on a map where the drivers are located. That's the same thing with these bird scooters. So you pull up the map and they're all on GPS. So it'll tell you, oh, there's a scooter 1 block away, or there's one, you know, this. It shows you where all of them are located. You go hop on a scooter.
But I mean, is it hidden behind a dumpster?
I mean, you got to kind of find them, but a lot of them are just left on the sidewalk. And I saw,
take it home.
And I asked Kazim, I was like, do people just steal these? He was like, no. In fact, we pulled up to a light on Hollywood Boulevard. And there was a homeless, and he goes, look, this is the first bird that's being stolen since I've been here. And it was a homeless man who had attached the bird to a shopping cart. So he had taken the front, he had slid the scooter part under his shopping cart, tied the handles to the cart itself, and he basically had a motorized cart. I was like, well, how's he paying for it? He's like, I don't know, but he just took off with the bird in the shopping cart. I thought that would happen more often. I thought where people would be stealing them. You will see people throwing them and stuff. Like homeless especially.
Oh, they've
got
to be durable
scooters.
If they're going to just be left around on the street and on the sidewalk.
Oh,
they can't be like
people doing
who
bad things to
them. Up?
They're charged.
Electric.
They're electric. They pay people. So you can get a job working for Bird where you just go around and you charge up the scooters.
Dude, we were talking about your job. I mean, they did the whole Dateline last night on NBC about Skid Row and all over L.A., how bad homelessness is. And people have full-time jobs, and the city's so expensive, and there's not enough affordable apartments and things that people that have full-time jobs are either living in very, very low cost hotel rooms.
Man.
And they have kids.
The hotel room thing is, I never thought would be something that would happen, but apparently it's more and more common now. People are choosing to live in hotels.
They can
pay week by week instead of monthly.
And it's cheap. Yeah, and then all the utilities and everything are taken care of. Well, when you start factoring in all the utilities and everything are taken care of, and hot water and everything else, it actually is.
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't know, because my buddy basically has a room in an apartment, in a three-bedroom apartment. He rents a room, and it's a shared bathroom. So it's a three-bedroom, two-bath apartment. And the chick that owns the apartment, it's her room has the bathroom attached. Right. So him and the other roommate would share a bathroom, and she was just – actually, she wasn't there. But he was paying like $800. Now, it included utilities, but you're paying $800 to rent a room.
Yeah.
Not a whole apartment, a room and half a bath.
No kitchen.
Like sharing a bath.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there's a kitchen
now, you
in
share
the apartment.
The kitchen,
yeah.
You share the living room, so you get access to that stuff.
Okay.
But he didn't have lights. He didn't have all that was included in the $800.
So I will tell you this. In Stafford, which is right off of 59, there's a bunch of hotels. I'm pretty sure Joel knows what I'm talking about.
Sure do.
There's a Motel 6, and maybe 10, 12 years ago, they had a weekly rate of $199. So
that's pretty cheap.
That's pretty good.
Back then, you could get an apartment complex for about $800-$900. So it didn't make sense to me. But in other areas, if you can somehow find rent where it's below $200 a week, which to me, I feel like it's very difficult to find unless you're in a really sketchy area, I don't see how it's cheaper. Like, it's just, and though, I mean, you do get the continental breakfast. I guess that's a plus.
Yeah.
I mean.
But, I mean, if they have a microwave, you just, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But, yeah, it's just, I mean, and then they started saying that literally there's these guys, like you're talking about, with the scooters, but they're paid to try and find where all the homeless are so they can try and see if they can help them or provide them with services they need. This lady had built a three-story treehouse. So she built like a townhouse out of like plywood and garbage cans, and had a front door, had a message board on the front door where the guy would leave her a message. I've been looking for you. Try and get in contact with me and stuff. She like protected it like a house, and they ended up finding her housing. But it's literally, they're living in the trees in the valley below the Hollywood sign. It's just, it's all over the it's now essentially a given that it's legal that you can camp on any street in LA. They just drop down tents.
It's legal?
Yeah. It has to be because they said there's so much overcrowding.
Well, I mean, I was telling you guys, I don't know if I'd mentioned it on air, but there was a homeless guy that I was hanging out with, a dude named Malik B, who was in Creed. He was one of the sparring partners, Amir. And he's a boxer from Philly. And we were kind of just walking down the street, and this homeless guy was like, "You want this smoke?" And what Malik thought was like, "You want this smoke? Like, you want to fight?" He was like, "What'd you say?" He was like, "You want to smoke?" He was like, "Bro, are you trying to fight me right now?" He's like, "Do you want to share my crack?" Like, homeless people just offering crack up. Like, "You want to ruin your life now? I'll share this with you." It's crazy, dude. The amount, just the sheer amount of people that are homeless and strung out. Because he warned me. He was like, "All right, we're going to go to do this show. We're going to have to walk down Hollywood Boulevard." He was like, "Just keep walking. There's so many homeless people, and they're crazy, and they will mess with you. Just keep walking." And I was like, "Kazim, I'll fight a homeless man. I have chased one through downtown." He's like, "Please just keep walking."
Why would you fight a homeless man?
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
I told y'all the story about that.
Did you?
Yeah, the spaghetti warehouse parking story where I chased it for $5.
You have so many crazy stories.
But here's the thing.
I will fight a homeless man. That's why he was like, so we ended up taking a back way. He was like, "No, you're not fighting a homeless." So when that dude tried to fight Malik, when he was like, "You want this smoke?" Of course, I'm like, "Yeah, let's do this. Let's go, homeless crackhead." Oh, never mind.
Last night on the Dateline, Craig Melvin was interviewing this guy that's been a resident in Venice Beach for like 38 years, but he's really annoyed by the overpopulation it's of crazy, homeless man. People. During the interview, a lady just walks right into the middle of the interview and confronts him and goes, oh, you don't need to be talking to this guy because this guy's an a-hole. This guy, this. And they start screaming at each other and you're like, oh my God. It is a serious issue in L.A. There's no doubt about it. By the way, before we go to break, our man Richard, RP3, says, Barry, I know the big toe went to the third toe, but were her toenails white?
You know what's crazy? Is she did have paint on her toenails, but it was blue. But I'm like, you're a homeless woman. Why are you painting your
toes?
Don't mess
with that.
And the fact that your first one touches your third one, you ain't making them pretty with paint. I'm sorry. You're well past that.
One word, Barry. Resourceful. They are resourceful.
If they would have been white, though, I would have taken a close-up and sent it to Holly.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
By the way, a lot of white toes in L.A.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of white toes in L.A.
There you go. What up, fellas? All right. We're going to be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Barry's back in town after a week off in California, catching up, giving us some stories, good stuff there. We will eventually get to the Astros, the Texans, and a lot of things, but you know how we do it around here. We break the ice, kind of keep you guys going in the second part of your day after you get that kind of lunch coma and you need a little wake-up call. We're here for you, and we still got plenty of time. So, OU Mike, by the way, Jerry got his indoctrination to OU Mike.
Oh, poor guy. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. And intern Trey.
Intern Trey.
What did how was that interaction?
We brought him in. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
He picked on him just enough. I thought it was perfect.
Jerry got to be judge and jury to rule on Trey getting in a fight in the hospital parking lot as to who was at fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did I admit? Trey's fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to be separated from somebody.
Hate to break this
to you,
Barry, but if you missed any part of the show last week, you can always go to Podcast Arena or you can check out ESPN975.com. Check out The Usual Suspects. We got all the shows right there.
Word. Okay. I'll do that. So the food in LA, by the way.
Okay.
I gained 5 pounds, which I didn't think would happen.
I don't think you should be worried about it anymore after you fasted for a month only to have more fasting in the crowd.
Yeah. I did. I thought I would, like, the amount of fast food and burger joints in L.A. kind of surprised me. But now, I wasn't in L.A. proper. I was kind of north of L.A. in North Hollywood or West Hollywood. I was more North Hollywood, I guess. But so I had this place. Well, I had Fatburger. Have you guys ever had Fatburger?
Yes. In Vegas, I've had it.
It's overrated.
It's pretty good. I think it's good.
It was good. It's not the best. Like, give me Smashburger any day over Fatburger. Any day of the week.
Really?
Yeah. Any and
but Californians are as defensive about Fatburger and In-N-Out as Texans are about Whataburger.
That's true. Fatburger and In-N-Out, they'll fight you over those.
Yep.
I had a place called Cantor's, which is apparently where it's a deli. It's a good deli. I mean, I had this mac and cheese sandwich. No wonder I gained 5 pounds. But apparently at Cantor's, that's where a lot of big bands started. Their first gig ever was at Cantor's, like Guns N' Roses. First time they ever played a gig was at Cantor's. So I did that. I did a place called Chronic Taco, which was next to the venue I was performing at.
I like the name.
Chronic Taco. And the guy tells me, he goes, I said, dude, what's good to eat around here? He was like, oh man, go to Chronic Taco.
Get that Chronic.
He goes, go to Chronic Taco. It's better than Chipotle. Did I say it right?
By the way,
I'm trying. Cause
better than Chipotle.
Like, we don't have Chipotle in Texas. Yeah. We have Chipotle. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue what you're talking about.
So I was like, really? Okay. I go down there. It was the worst. It was so bad. It was the most bland.
Oh, Chronic Taco
white
was bad?
People tacos ever had. It was the God. It might as well have just been like hamburger meat on a rice cake. It was horrible. So, like, yeah, it was not better than Chipotle.
You mentioned a deli, but Jerry's world famous deli is where, not from a performance standpoint, but that's where all the Hollywood types like to show up and eat as well. They used to have one when we stayed in Westwood by UCLA's campus with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. They had a Jerry's world famous deli there, which was fantastic. and then Marina Del Rey.
Oh.
When we stayed there, there were two Jerry's world famous delis, and they were
good,
pretty popular.
I went to a place. He took me to a place called Porto's, which was a bakery slash cafe. It was okay. The line was ridiculous, so we didn't wait because I told him, bro, there's no way I'm waiting in line that long for whatever is inside of that store. I don't care enough to sit in that. He goes, we'll go when it's slow. And so we did. But the line would literally, so there was two. So when you walk in, it splits. You can go to the cafe side or the bakery side. And then they have, like, you know, the ropes up. And it snakes back and forth about three times till you get to the counter.
So it's Chick-fil-A-ish with their lines.
It's, so both of those are full. And then it goes out the door and down the street
most days.
And we went in when it was real slow on a Saturday.
What's that, 3 a.m.?
No, it's midday lunch. Oh. Like, it doesn't
sound like there's ever a slow time.
No, yeah, most of the time there's not. But Saturday midday was slow-ish. So we went in there and had lunch. And I mean, it was like, he was like, you have to get we had a chicken empanada. I had this, okay, don't be childish. It was like balls, like
Well, if you just leave it at balls,
and you look at me.
Let me finish.
You look at me.
You guys didn't let me finish.
It's like balls.
It's like fried balls. It was like a mashed potato, right? So mashed potatoes breaded and then fried. And then another one was like hamburger meat with mashed potatoes and fried. So it was just, I don't even know what the hell they're called. That just, they were fried
balls.
Sounds
like a meatball to me.
Till now, yeah. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it's meat. We don't know if it's, is it potato, you said?
Yeah, one of them was mashed potatoes, and then they dip it in a batter and fry it. The other one was like ground beef, and I guess it was mashed potatoes dipped in batter and fried. So I don't know what the hell it was. They were okay. I mean, they were good. They weren't great. They weren't waiting in line for an hour to get them good.
I thought fried balls were hush puppies.
And then perhaps the most disappointing thing of all, I finally got to have Roscoe's chicken and waffles. My buddy was like, have you ever been? I was like, no.
I've heard, though.
He's like, I'm going to take you. I was like, awesome. And we figured out where to go. We went to the one in Pasadena instead of the one in Hollywood because there was better parking. These are all things you have to consider in LA. Is there parking? Is there, you know. So we go. Not that good. Meh. It was scale of 1 to 10. It was a 4.5 or a 5. The waffle was cold. The chicken needed more seasoning, and we got the macaroni. It was awful. The macaroni, which I would expect to be really good, it was awful. It was just basically macaroni noodles, and they threw some cheddar cheese on top. It was terrible. So yeah, big thumbs down for Roscoe's chicken and waffles.
So overall, you'd say that Texas can definitely compete with the food that exists in California,
hands down, without a doubt. Texas has the best food. Houston has far better, far superior food than whatever I ate in California.
Okay. Does this mean you're just going on a food spree now for about a week or two to make up for?
I texted my wife about Thursday and said, we're definitely having steak when I get home. We're having steak. And we did. And I got home yesterday, mid-afternoon on the way back. We stopped, bought some steaks, and made steaks last night. And it was delicious.
Well, that should earn you some brownie points after saying all those, you know, comments about Dallas and how Houston sucks and how you love Dallas and you hate Houston.
No, Texas food way better. Now, me and my buddy had this discussion and an argument. First of all, Peaches and Cream, the song.
Yeah.
112. Yep. Is that a classic? Yeah. Is it a classic?
I would consider it.
See, I'm with you.
I don't think it's quite to classic status.
We argued about this for 4 days, and anyone that was in our vicinity to discuss it, we brought them in on the conversation to argue about it. Because he says Peaches and Cream by 112 is a classic. And I say, how can it be? Because everyone that even like, okay, so you say it's a classic, right, Nick?
Yeah.
It's a classic. Sing the first verse.
I can barely remember it, honestly.
Exactly. Because it's not a classic. If it was a classic, you would know the lyrics.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you forget lyrics to classics, though.
Boys the Men, Into the Road. That is a classic because you know all the words and you can sing all the
words. You know the lyrics to the first verse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I say goodbye? Like, yeah, I can right away. You can
to
start singing
all
it.
The things yeah. we had. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You couldn't
going.
Even you couldn't even name
the good times and the bad. I can keep going.
You're not getting me to sing on air, damn it.
Again. See, my first guess was maybe 112 is from the West Coast, but I don't think they're from the West Coast. Because you know
East
how
Coast.
we
they're Bad Boy Records. So they were an East Coast R&B group. That song can't be a classic. Most people don't know the lyrics.
But you know what? If that argument came up and they said, you know what, Ken, and you made that argument, I'd probably just agree with you and be like, you're right. It's probably not a classic. But it was a track that played a lot down here in Houston, at least.
Sure.
At the minimum.
Good song? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, borderline great song.
I wouldn't argue about it with you for 4 days.
No, he did. But that's Kazeem. He argues about everything. Our biggest argument was over James Bond, because we were talking, I don't know, we were at Fatburger, and we weren't even high, but he was like, yeah, I think they should let Idris Elba be James Bond, and I was like, why? That doesn't make sense, though. And he was like, why not? I was like, because you can't just, out of nowhere, just make James Bond black. Like, he's a white guy. That's the thing. I'm sorry. He was like, yeah, you can. I was like, no, you can't. Okay, so Luke Cage next year can be a white dude? He was like, no. So I'm asking you, can you just change the race of a character? Because he was like, well, they never said what he was in the books. I'm like, yeah, but once you make a movie and show us what he looks like,
I would agree with that.
You can't change that. That would be like Superman being Hispanic or Batman being an Asian. Like, you can't change the race of somebody.
Well, before there was a black president, they had black presidents in movies.
Yeah, but that's okay, because that's like a fictional president.
It's not a series of movies.
Yeah, it's not like
the Star Wars movies. You can't.
All right, you're going to tell me that Joel could play Lando Calrissian in the next Star Wars? You can't. You've established him as a black dude.
Plus, Morgan Freeman was an amazing
Barry
president.
Could, because he's black on the radio. So that actually is possible.
I could do it in the radio version.
That's
of Star
right.
Wars.
That's the funny. Audiobook. If you're doing the audiobook, you're Lando.
But man, you would have thought that we had smoked 3 pounds of weed the way we argued about this for hours on whether James Bond could be black. I just died, and then I would throw out, like, okay, well, then couldn't Black Panther be white?
That's where I was
going
next.
He was like,
next.
Oh, no. I was like, well, what? Why?
That's where I was going next.
Why? He's like, it's different. I was like, how is it different? I'm not saying that, you know, only white people can be James Bond, like, the spy, but you've established his race when you started making the movies. You can't change it. That doesn't make sense. I don't know. We argued forever about that.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still got 2 hours of the big show. Plenty more to get to as well. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a shout. HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter. Back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.